Hey, happy Father's Day. Why don't you turn in your seat to find a father of someone and just say happy Father's Day. And I got to say happy Father's Day to my dad, who probably isn't watching because he doesn't know how to get on the internet.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Ed. Happy Father's Day. And my stepdad, Hal, happy Father's Day. Yeah, it's a good day. We're just going to be in Mark chapter 4 today. If you have a Bible and want to follow along, I encourage you. That way you can know for sure that I'm not making anything up. And there will be probably words on the screen. Thanks, Olivia, for putting words on the screen. Everybody say thank you to Olivia. Because I am a terror to work with. I just got her my slides for this sermon like yesterday, so she's the best. So anyway, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took with them in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we pray this morning that you would teach us. But God, we don't just want to know information. We want to know you. So we pray mostly that you would encounter us today. And that of all the words that are spoken in this time, that yours would be the one we hear. And that your word would be good news to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the beach. Does anybody else like the beach? Yeah. Yeah, clap for the beach. That's good. I'm from California originally, most of you know that, and I was just thinking about it yesterday, I have never lived more than an hour away from a beach. So I don't know how people in Ohio are surviving right now. You have to go to the beach. I was there yesterday. That's kind of how, it was my wife and my anniversary yesterday, our 11th year. Yep. So since we have kids, we didn't do anything. No, we went to the beach with our kids. It was fun. We had Taco Bell for lunch. It was a very special day. And we went to the beach and we just played in the waves. And I love when the waves are powerful. I think it's like low tide where they really are pretty rough. And you don't like that? No. That's high tide. Okay, thank you. I stand corrected. I don't know tides. Okay. We don't learn that in seminary. But I love when the waves are rough. And I don't know why, but I like it when the waves are powerful and they can toss you around. And are there any surfers in the room? No? Nobody surfs. Wow. I was expecting one. Okay, cool. So I can tell you whatever I want about surfing and you won't know. But I think sometimes a big, powerful wave kind of sucks you under it. Have you ever been in that feeling, that motion, if you've been body surfing or whatever? And there's this split second when you get hit by a really powerful wave where it turns you upside down, right? You're underwater and you forget which way is up. Have you ever felt that before? So I love that moment, but it's this moment of sheer chaos, right? You don't know which way is up. You're actually helpless, right? Well, I think if you can associate with that experience, you can begin to think about why in the ancient world When Jesus was alive and walking on the earth, that they associated the sea with chaos. The ocean was a chaotic place. Part of that was not only because of just the power of the waves on the shore, but if you can imagine, you know, being a fishing community, the kind of storms that come up and the technology that they had, it was a perilous thing to go out on the water. And so their whole cosmology, their whole sense of the world had this kind of deep respect for the sea. There was this mystery, there was this chaos about the sea, because it wasn't something that you could always harness. And there was monsters in the sea, right? And so they had this sense that they were helpless before this, much like you are when you're pulled under a wave. When God created the world in Genesis, it tells us that the Spirit hovered over the waters. In the beginning, there was chaos. The Genesis says it was wild and waste. It was a formless void. It was chaos. And all there was this sea, this water. And the Spirit hovered over it. And one of the first acts of creation in Genesis 1 is that God separated the waters from the waters. You remember that? We read that story in with some perplexity, I think. Sometimes we read past that part. I don't know if you've stopped long enough in Genesis 1 to think about, that's kind of weird, that to create the sky, God separated water from water. It's because they believed, actually, that there was a dome in the sky, a literal one, and there was water above it, and there was water below the earth, and this water was chaos, and God, in creating the world, by separating the water from the water, was bringing harmony to the chaos. In the beginning, the earth was formless and void. It was chaos. And then God spoke. And it was peace. There was harmony. The work of creation was the work of harmony being brought to chaos. In this story, the disciples find themselves in chaos, on the sea, in boat, right? And it's interesting, when this story, you have to pay attention to where it shows up in the book of Mark, that Jesus has just finished a pretty long trek. He's been healing and casting out demons and teaching, and you can imagine it's been a long day. Maybe that's why Mark mentions specifically that the evening had come, and he said to them, let's go across the other side. They left the crowds behind, right? So you can get this sense that maybe part of the reason they were leaving town and going across the other side was just to get away from people. You ever need that? You just kind of get away. You got to get away. The end of the day, I don't know about you, but sometimes you come home from work or come home from a long day and you just want to stop and just sit in your chair and put the Padres game on, all right? Right? Doesn't everyone watch the Padres? No? Am I in New Jersey? Okay. You just want to stop. Have you ever been in that moment and something happened and you got a call and you're tired, right? You're done, but you got to go help somebody, or you forgot something at work, you have to go back, or your spouse really needs you to clean up the mess that Henry made in the middle of the floor, and you're like, I'm just done. Can I just watch the Padres game? Have you been there? I know you probably don't watch the Padres, but you've had that sense of already being exhausted, and then something else happens, and you're just at your wit's end. I think that's kind of what's happening here a little bit. The disciples and Jesus are in this boat, getting away from the crowds, looking for some peace, right? And then a storm hits. A huge storm, and these flash storms, they're on the Sea of Galilee, which is really more of a lake than a sea. You can almost, on a clear day, you can see all the way across it. But these storms do, in the modern day, they still pop up every once in a while. It's got a weird kind of ecosystem a climate there, where sometimes these kind of flash storms come up, and the waves can get pretty big. And Jesus and the disciples find themselves stuck in one of these storms. so that the boat is being swamped with water, and the disciples are so scared. You can imagine how big this storm must have been, right? These are fishermen. It's not their first one, right? And yet they're so scared that they think they're going to die. Because they say to Jesus, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" They are helpless. And what is Jesus doing? Sleeping in the stern. Now, this is a really perplexing story, right? Because, you know, from a distance we go, you know, we read to the end and Jesus says to them, you know, "Don't you have any faith? Why are you afraid?" That's a dumb question. Of course they're afraid. It's a storm. It's a huge storm. They think they're dying and Jesus is asleep. That's the question I would have. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where things were so chaotic, you were stuck under the wave, you lost sight of which way was up, and you didn't know where God was? It felt like God was sleeping in the stern. Have you been there? I think if we are willing to confess, we've all found ourselves in moments wondering if God cared or if he was just sleeping while we were dying. This reminds us of another story in Scripture. If you're paying close attention to the words, if you read Greek, anybody read Greek in here? Yeah, no, I don't expect that. But the words are very similar to the Greek version of another story in the Bible called the story of Jonah. You familiar with that story? This guy, Jonah, is called by God to do some stuff, and he doesn't want to do it. And Ed preached about this a few weeks back, right? And he tries to run away from God, and on the boat, while he's running away, a huge storm hits, and he's sleeping in the boat. It's an interesting parallel, because I don't think it's on accident that Mark, I'm sure Mark thought of Jonah's story when he thought about this experience, that Jesus is sleeping on the boat. Well, that's familiar, but there's a huge difference, right? Because in this story, Jonah is trying to escape God, but Jesus is God, right? Jonah is the cause of the storm. His disobedience is what's causing the storm, and in this case, Jesus is the solution to the storm. Jonah had to be thrown overboard so that God could calm the storm, and Jesus only needs to speak. In Jonah, God is the one who calms the storm. And so it is perplexing and interesting that in this story, Jesus is the one who calms the storm. What we know from all this is that only God calms storms. Only God has the power to bring harmony out of chaos. We think of that creation story. Only God creates something from nothing. It's likely that the author of Mark actually had another scripture in mind as well when he was writing this story down. Psalm 107 goes like this. "Some went down into the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and they went down into the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were all at their wits' end. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." Mark is using a lot of the same language. Be still to the storm. God calms the storm. And so it's no wonder that that Jesus has the disciples asking, who is this then who calms the storm? I don't know what your storm is today, but you might have one. I don't know what chaos is in your life. I don't know what thing it is right now that feels like the wave and it's got you caught under it and you've lost sense of which way is up. I don't know what your chaos is, but I can tell you that Jesus is with you. As confusing and frustrating as it is to read that Jesus was sleeping in the boat, we have to remember that Jesus was in the boat. That's important because that means he's not far away. He's not outside the storm. He's in it. And I think as Christians, sometimes we're surprised by the storms in our lives. We're surprised by chaos, as though because we're Christians, we're not supposed to experience hardship, right? I'm a Christian. Why would this happen to me? I'm supposed to have a hunky-dory life now, right? Well, if that's the message you received, unfortunately, I think that's the wrong message. God does not teleport the disciples out of the storm or around the storm. He goes through it with them. And Jesus brings peace. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus does what only God can do. Who then is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The Lord of all, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke into chaos from day one and said, peace, and brought harmony in chaos, is with them in the boat. And you know what? He's not afraid. He's not afraid. He's sleeping. Not like Jonah, not to ignore the pain of the world, but he's in it with them. But he knows that God brings this harmony out of chaos. Jesus is in your storm with you. It's still a storm. I'm unfortunately not here to tell you that that it's actually not as bad as it seems, or that that your problems aren't really there, and if you just close your eyes hard enough and wish them away, it'll all stop. That's not what's happening here. But what I am here to tell you is that whatever you're going through, even if it feels like you're in that moment when God is sleeping at the wheel, know that God is with you and that God is not afraid. God is not afraid. And God is going to bring peace. So keep going. Keep moving through your storm. If all you can do is crawl through it, keep going. If all you can do is let the wave take you until you find out, until you remember which way is up, just do it. Keep going, because the way this ends isn't with chaos. God is going to have the last word, and that word is peace. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Remind us now that in the midst of so much chaos, in the midst of a world that is so obviously broken and in need of reconciliation and healing, in the midst of being turned upside down by the waves of chaos, you are with us. You are here, and you only need to speak. God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust that the last word in this story is a word of peace. And help us to live lives that reflect to others that the God of the universe is in the storm and is not afraid. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.